Okay, everybody, welcome back once again. This is Tech Gumbo, and I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we want to welcome you to our show. We like to talk about all things technology, but we want to do so in a relevant and interesting way and have the occasional laugh. We try not to use geek speak or any acronyms. We just want to talk about things that are important to you and to us, especially if they have anything to do with technology. And we want to do this as we talk about all things past, present, and future. So we have a new sponsor with our show, and it's Cardinal Capital. So hey, business owners and CEOs, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. But if you are facing challenges such as the need to consolidate debt, you're in growth mode or want to buy new equipment, or you just want to level out your cash flow, whatever your challenge or need, give Cardinal Capital a call, because they have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want your business to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to the lending institutions that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important to banks, and they're good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation. And here's the good part. They're easy and fun to work with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. Call 225-308-3700 or email info@cardinalcap.net. At Cardinal Capital, we connect businesses to capital. So, Hag, we have a guest with us today, Mr. Rob Powell. Welcome to the Tech Gumbo, Rob.
It's great to be here. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we are glad that you guys decided to come on board for our show, and glad that you are here to talk with us for some Tech Gumbo today.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Very good. Well, let's kick off with a continuing follow-up and update, if you will, on the whole SolarWinds thing. We want to start off with the campaign, crisis campaign mode 101. When anything goes bad, blame the interns.
Yeah, they really chucked some poor intern under the bus so hard. I'm not sure this person really exists. This sounds like a very convenient scapegoat. No names were ever released. No departments were ever released. But some mythical person set the password to one of SolarWinds' properties to SolarWinds123. This is one of the most secure companies, a company that is one of the leaders in cybersecurity. And yeah, their password wasn't literally password, but it was only one step better.
So what happened here, this was an intern working on a server there at SolarWinds back in 2017, and this intern came back in 2018. And on this development server that he set up, he used the password SolarWinds123. Now, that's 13 characters, so you would think, okay, 13 characters, that should be secure enough, right? Except it wasn't, and it got leaked out, and it got posted all over the dark web, and it took a year and a half for SolarWinds to find out, oh my God, somebody put a password out there, SolarWinds123, and they took it down. But that was way too late at that point.
Yeah, and so there's a couple of things. We talk about password security all the time. One of the things this password does wrong is that there's no capitals. There's no special characters. It is no caps, no spaces. And so just by adding a capital S and a capital W, now all of a sudden you go from 26 characters to 52 characters as a possible selection set. And so just that simple little S and W makes your password much more complicated. And if they'd have thrown a question mark, an exclamation, an at sign somewhere in there, now your set of characters goes well over 100. And so it's small little things that really make passwords better.
So guys, what you're telling me is I need to go back and remove my dog's names as all my passwords. So
You can have your dog's names, just spice it up a little bit here and there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know, so if your dog's name is Rover, you know, so if it's R with the 0V3R hashtag, that's a whole lot better than just R-O-V-E-R. Gotcha. You know, it at least it's going to take them an hour or two to break through that.
Yeah.
And so the CEO here of Sudhakar Ramakrishna, I'm sorry, I know I probably butchered that.
You're doing it better than I would. Yeah.
He actually stood in front of he was on a Zoom call with a legislative panel investigating this whole thing. And with a straight face, he just rolled right over this. And I think you're right. I think it was a mythical intern that's got Goodyear written all over this poor intern's face, because the bus just, they ran over him, backed up over him, and hit him again on the way out just to make sure. That's just not good.
Yeah. And as we continue to learn more about the extent of the SolarWinds hack, their new reporting thinks that it could take up to 18 months to fully recover from this. And even then, that's just getting back to 95%. Because as we said in the past, it's virtually impossible to know the true extent of this. Because it was so widespread, because it was in so many places and so difficult to detect, you know, they're only going to be pretty sure that they got everything, but they're sure they will never be 100% sure.
Yeah, I mean, when it's going to take them 18 months to know where the SolarWinds problems were, they're never going to know what they did with all of the other back doors and you know, entrances that these hackers gave themselves. So the access that our government has, they might as well just open up the front door of every building and put all the top secret stuff on the bulletin boards and post office, because that's how accessible everything is right now.
It really is terrifying. And the worst part, the part that scares me the most, is not that the current information, but it's the ability to go back and get the next round of information. Because if I now know your processes, and I see, oh, you know, you were planning this level of secrecy in the future, you were planning that defense, and I see it ahead of time, I just wait for you to implement that, and I come back 2 years from now, and I say, oh, I already have the key to this door, and I walk through again. And those are the types of things that really concern me, and that's the type of thing which we won't find out for 4 years, because again, they'll be able to bury themselves very deeply. They'll be able to be very secure, very quiet about it. And I think that we're going to see ramifications for this from a long way away.
And you know, Rob, a couple of weeks ago, we had a story where Microsoft CEO had actually said to do the level of hack that they did, it would have taken 1,000 software engineers, a long time to do. So if it took a thousand people to put that all together, that's how deep and how far this all goes.
No kidding, because this has tentacles. I mean, once they got into this, it spread, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Absolutely.
I think 18 months to uncover all this and redo it is pretty optimistic. You know, I mean, this could go very deep, and like you said, they could go in there and just put a bug there, a listening bug to what's going on, and we may never see it. And from what it looks like, am I correct? They said over 100 different companies and agencies were affected by this.
18,000 businesses and I think it was 100 different agencies or departments in the federal government.
Yeah, that's not good.
Including the
that
treasury
would be a bad area. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's just really going to take a long time. And to pile on with that, Microsoft released some news this week that some Chinese hackers were exploiting the Exchange server. So if you still are running a Microsoft Exchange on premise, you've got issues, because the Chinese know how to get into it. If you're using Office 365 or the Exchange in the cloud environment, then that's protected. That's okay. But if you still have that on-premise, and very few people still do have that exchange, that's where the problem lies.
Right. And again, we see this is not just some guys sitting in their basement. It is believed to be Chinese state-sponsored. More and more, the future of warfare is not bullets and bombs. It is very targeted cybersecurity. It is going after infrastructure. It is going after businesses and just making their life harder, or making sure I know what's happening.
The whole ones and zeros are so much more powerful than all the bombs in the world combined right now is an understatement.
Well, we just saw what was going on in Texas when you had some power grids shut down. You had people's lives affected, you know, for a generation almost. And, you know, I don't know this, but I would assume that some of these state-sponsored groups are watching that going, aha, if I can get into this, guess what kind of havoc I can wreak over my enemies. So,
and I think another part of it is plausible deniability. If, okay, you have some big event coming like this Texas storm, and the storm would be 80% as bad, and you just add on another 20%. Mm-hmm. There's so much other chaos. There's so much other things happening. It would be so difficult to detect that because no one's looking for cyber attacks during the middle of one of the worst natural disasters. And mm-hmm. So those are the places wherever the bad guys are very smart. They know what they're doing. Those are the things which we really need to be prepared for.
It really is. And, you know, we've talked for years and years on this show now about our infrastructure and how vulnerable it is, in whether it's utilities or telecommunications or you know, water companies, like just happened in Florida a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. This is a situation where we have to do a better job. Moving on, we're going to talk about our friends at Google now.
Okay.
This one, actually, we were pretty excited to hear. This seems like a step in the right direction.
Yeah, Google has said they're going to stop selling ads based upon tracked individual browsing history. So right now, what happens when you're reading something on, if you're using especially Google Chrome, and you're reading a story on a website, and you click on a link and it takes you to another site, and you click on a link and you click and it goes to another site, and then you click on the link and it goes to another site. Google is tracking you across all of those click-throughs, and they're building a profile based upon all your clicks. But so are a lot of other companies. It's not just Google who's tracking all of that. And so because of the GDPR and the European Union and the California data protection rights and a lot of other things that are snowballing, Google is saying, hey, boys and girls, we better clean up our act.
I think you're right. I think Google isn't necessarily doing this out of the goodness of their heart. I think it's very much more they see the way the industry is changing. They see the laws that are coming. And they want to make sure that if they have to make these changes, they do it enough in advance so the changes are on their terms. Because if Google can get this passed, now all of a sudden, whenever the legislation comes, the legislation is looking at what Google's already done, as opposed to the other way around, where the legislation passes first and Google has to hit the panic button. I think this is very much them saying, okay, you know, it might not be this year, it might not be next year, but sometime within the next 5 years, America will implement data privacy laws. You know, various states are going to have different privacy laws. So let's just build it now. Let's get it out now. And that way we're ready for it.
And the other side of this, I completely agree with you on that. The other side of this is they would be first to market with these new processes and policies. So if you're first to market, you're pretty much setting the course and everybody else will have to follow. And we know, you know, from experience and watching these companies, they're pretty good at setting a tone and setting the standard, if you will, moving forward. So, you know, good for Google for doing that.
Well, Google's pretty much invented the whole industry to begin with.
Yep.
And they're trying to stay out in front, just like you were saying. And you know, if they can stand up and say, hey, look, Congress, we're the good guys here. Let us help you craft the laws. Mm-hmm. Because this is what we did. We clean. Don't look at those Facebook. Those are bad guys over there. They're still doing things the old way. Look at Google, you know, because mm-hmm. we want people to spend their money with Google, not with those other companies, because we're doing it the right way. Let us help you. And so, you know, the whole good cop thing is it's an interesting take.
Mm-hmm. I think also the point about the removing the ability for third-party companies to track cookies. By Google removing all cookie tracking, they're also building the next generation of software. And so people who had built entire businesses around being that third-party cookie tracker, Google says, nope, 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 you have to come back to us now. And so what they're ultimately doing is they're no longer going to be hyper-specific in their ads. They're not going to know everything about you, but they're going to have some data tracked at the, you know, device level, and then the device will produce a much broader profile. And so the analogy that I've heard is it's much closer to if you buy a fishing magazine. The people who are advertising the fishing magazine have an idea that you're outdoorsy. They get certain ideas about who you are, but they don't know where you live. They don't know, you know, the most granular details. And so it's that level of, okay, you're still going to see things which are relevant to you, but just not like creepy, uncomfortable relevant.
Yeah. Well, I completely agree with you on that one, but I'm looking at this and not to throw in another one here, but does this apply to just websites or what about mobile devices?
Right now it's not the mobile because this is just about desktops.
Okay.
The whole mobile industry and what they're doing with click-throughs on mobile tracking is a different level of technology. And Google is saying, we're not there yet.
Okay.
The rest of the world is using their smartphones, especially if they're anything younger than I am. They live in their smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to make any money tracking ads on my smartphone because I don't do it that way. I don't use it that way. But that's my generation.
Right.
Haggai's generation, he doesn't look at computer screens. He looks at his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's an interesting point that you brought up, that the way the ads are tracked across apps is a different system. And mm-hmm. so whenever I click on an app, you know, click on an ad in the Facebook app, that's a whole different tracking methodology. And mm-hmm. so that will require its own set of reforms, its own set of ideas. And I think that's a good catch that this is right now only traditional desktop browser-based traffic.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because we're more and more moving towards a mobile, you know, connectivity. So I'm sure that's on the heels and I'm sure they're thinking about it. They have to be. I mean, the data is going to show that's where some of those things are. But to your point, Haggai, back to what you said about the fishing magazine piece. When I started in marketing world many moons ago, we would use clusters, okay? Or they call them segment solutions. So if you bought a fishing magazine or a motorcycle magazine or a car magazine, you knew pretty much if you had a couple other data points, your age, for example, or your geography, you knew something about that person because like-minded people would behave similarly. And they would have same buying patterns. So that's how we would buy ads based on those two or three data points. So I believe they're getting back to this. And I think as marketing people, they're going to have to be a little bit more creative in how they create and craft their messages and their brands to attract those people that have kind of a wider scope, you know, wider segment, if you will. Because we were moving dangerously close to a segmentation of one-to-one. And you know, go ahead.
I think you're exactly right that they definitely will still be able to say, okay, you're doing this type of thing. Other people who do this type of thing have these similar interests, which might not appear directly related at first,
mm-hmm.
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I am still going to be able to make some assumptions about what ads you would be interested in. And so I think you're exactly right that we'll be able to still learn some more, but it won't be as hyper-focused. It won't be like, oh, you know, you like this one exact thing and have it be like creepy. It's like, oh, how did Google know that I like that? I just realized I like that.
Right.
And so that's the level of, okay, I do like this change. I think it's in the right direction here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to model out. I remember one specific case where I modeled out this one segment where they were highly likely or highly indexed against people who bought Volvos. So nowhere did it show up in the data, but sure enough, we could validate, I'll be darned, they've got Volvos. So you had that. And then the other side of that was, you're almost getting too granular to where it's left-handed tennis players with green eyes, you know, who live in this zip code, do this behavior. And you could do that, but which made the data guys from the marketing side just lather up. They thought that was fantastic, you know? You know, it was just amazing work that they would do. So you get both of those happening, but somewhere in the middle is a nice, you know, a nice happy medium, but still it's going to fall back on the marketers to be smart and where they go with this new bucket of information. And so I think we're going to see some really good innovation coming out of this.
I think you're entirely right there. So to your listeners, if you enjoyed our conversation, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. The show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of our show or you'd like to hear previous episodes, we are available as a podcast on almost every major podcasting platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, and many, many more.
We do want to thank EMCO Technologies for sponsoring our show. EMCO for all your business computer network needs, whether it's Office 365, cybersecurity concerns, moving to the cloud, managing your business computer network is what we do. So give us a call, 225-925-8900 or emcotechnologies.com. And if you like our show, if you have any suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We're at TechGumbo Show. Or you can text the show, 225-255-0431. You're listening to Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP, Baton Rouge's new flavor of talk.